Wow. Just acknowledging he's making billions of dollars. Wow. I mean, this is fact-based here. This is what this show is all about, Dave Aragon, right? Fact-based reporting.
Well, news industries never paid more than they do today, from what I'm told.
Yes, that is exactly right. So we just were making fun of Adam Carden. Grunhoffer's is a great place in town where you pick up a variety of meats. What kind of griller is Major Garrett? You know, if it's like today, it's beautiful. We've had just an amazing run of weather. So we've had plenty of grilling opportunities. You have a 12,000-square-foot mansion in Alexandria, Virginia. You have four or five different patios.
We go over this. We go over this all the time.
I'm sorry, 13,000-square-foot.
I have an apartment in downtown Washington, D.C.,
sure, sure.
932 square feet, no balcony, no grilling space at all.
That's what we think of that statement.
Currently, I am not a griller of any kind. Currently.
Yep.
I have a history of grilling, and I do what most people do. You know, burgers, hot dogs, chicken, a little bit of fish, but not much.
Now, do you put like a hat on? Do you have like an apron that says kiss the chef? I mean, do you do that?
No.
Can we get a picture like Dave?
No.
Dave, do you see that major kiss the chef walking around?
No.
We can Photoshop that.
We can Photoshop. We're going to Photoshop that on the tweet today.
No grills. I got to have fun. None of that. No.
I wasn't familiar with that one. Were you, Dave?
That must be an East Coast
thing. Grills just got to have fun. That's outstanding.
No.
Okay. I'm going to guess, Dave, I'm going to say meat. He's a medium guy. He's a medium, but closer to a medium rare guy than a medium well. Dave, what's your guess?
He's definitely not a well done. He's got much better taste than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you at?
So I would say when I cook it, and because the three of us who are speaking are all gentlemen of a certain age, medium means what medium meant when we were young. However, if you go to a fine restaurant in America today, medium doesn't mean what it meant when you and I, the three of us, were young. Medium now means medium rare, and I don't like medium rare.
Wow.
I like medium. The old medium.
You like a hockey puck, in other words. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, just a hint of pink in the center, but I don't want it running around my plate, which is what medium is now.
You don't want the cow running around saying, come and get me. I mean, come on.
You watch any cooking show, and all the chefs are like, it's running over the plate. It's a little overdone.
Mm. Taking on big chefs.
That mentality has infected restaurants across the country. So if you say medium, you're not going to get the medium that I grew up with. You're going to get medium rare, and I don't like medium rare.
Mm. Dave, thoughts?
I am not as old as the two of
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Calm
by the way.
Down.
Yeah, by the way. That was his number one takeaway. We are notably older. He does not want to be positioned.
Okay. Ages. Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for that, Dave. Yeah. You just take your ageism and you go all over the Twin Cities. Yes. Have fun with that.
Here's what Dave's prepared to say. Major, can you hear me?
Yes. Okay.
Someone who will not be celebrating another birthday, and I'm not broken up at all about it, is the former leader Hamas, Sinwar. Pretty amazing reporting, too, how with all the high intelligence from our country and Israel, how they found him almost accidentally, you know, on a normal mission. It wasn't, we've got Sinwar here, they killed him, came back and went, my God, look at who we killed. But he is now dead.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of questions about what this means. You know, the President of the United States saying in a statement that the White House put out yesterday and then his own words today, I hope this is an opportunity for peace, and acknowledging he encouraged that when he chatted with Bibi Netanyahu. Tom Friedman, who is more well-versed in the Middle East than anyone on this planet, with a great column, New York Times today, laying out a plan, and Tom Friedman speaking optimistically about this opportunity to not only have a ceasefire, But potentially, would Netanyahu listen to some sort of multifaceted two-state solution with multiple countries involved, in particular Saudi Arabia? I hope that happens, Major. But this is Hamas. This is a despicable organization. And my gut tells me they're going to try to revenge his death in any way possible, which would lead to an end of this opportunity. What, judging everything you've consumed, what is your sense on where we're going?
I do think there is an opportunity. My experience as a reporter who's covered presidential engagements in the Middle East since I started covering the White House in 2000, covering Bill Clinton, lengthy negotiations, not to back then achieve a separate Palestinian state because that wasn't U.S. policy, but to soften the blows and to minimize the sense of occupation and try to create something that was equitable and peaceful. Every American president I've covered has been frustrated by missed opportunities, things that look promising, but in the end don't fulfill anywhere close to their promise. However, this is a different dynamic right now. Hamas fighters have been decimated in the ground invasion of Gaza by Israel. Many other civilians have lost their lives as well. But Hamas as a fighting force is decimated. Its leadership is decimated. Its ability to intimidate slash terrorize Palestinians in Gaza significantly undermined. What does that mean in Gaza? What does that mean in the West Bank? Is there an ability of Palestinians who, if offered something from Israel, moving in the direction of a two-state solution, would free themselves of Hamas? That's an opportunity, but it has to be pursued by the Israelis. And to make it real, other Arab states, probably led by Saudi Arabia, need to be there immediately with not just diplomatic support and ideological and rhetorical support, but hundreds of millions of dollars of reconstruction support. And one of the things that has always been, and this is one of the bitter truths of this conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, many of the surrounding Arab states talk a good game, but in the end don't deliver.
Yes, correct.
Because, and this is the most cynical interpretation, but the history that I've observed for these 24 years of covering the story, not on a day-by-day basis, but pretty closely, is the Arab states prefer the antagonistic ongoing conflict between Israel more than they prefer an actual two-state solution or Palestinian homeland. And the evidence there is pretty clear.
It's overwhelming, to be honest.
When asked to pony up and to provide either peacekeeping forces or money or diplomats or any combination of those things, the one Arab state that I would say distinguishes itself and been a positive force has been Jordan. Jordan really has worked on this.
Right.
Jordan has taken hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees, let them live in Jordan, is constantly trying to work on this. It's the closest neighbor. But the rest, they sort of take a pass whenever the going gets tough. So this is going to have to be something where lots of other states that have been on the sidelines, talk a good game, but never in the end deliver, have to pony up in many, many ways. And Iran is weakened. Hezbollah is weakened. Hamas is weakened. The Houthis are weakened. All of Iran's ability to sort of menace the whole region and say, we've got all this stuff going for us, has now been revealed to be much less than advertised. So if you want peace on your terms, now is the time to jump in, seize this moment, push Iran back, and redraw not the map, but redraw the sense of what Iran can or can't do in terms of menacing or intimidating the region.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Two other X factors I'll add, then we'll pause. Netanyahu has a close relationship with Trump.
Yeah.
I think he's going to wait and see what happens in the election.
Yeah.
And the leeway he might get from Donald Trump compared to Kamala Harris. And then you mentioned it, MBS in Saudi Arabia is an X factor here. Because you're right.
Yeah.
They haven't been in the mix. But what role does MBS want to play while still killing individuals in this country on a regular basis, but also trying to modernize at some level and how they were edging towards some sort of agreement with Israel before October 7th?
Oh, they definitely were. They definitely were. And there are some in the region who believe that was one of the reasons that Hamas launched October 7th, because they saw things moving away and the Abraham Accords and all these other arrangements pushing them out, and the scenario only getting worse, and alliances that would make Israel feel more secure and them less secure. If that was the gambit, it was a spectacular failure, because Israel has responded with both military feet and is not turning back, and is, if anything, expanded the battle space into Lebanon, dealt with two attacks from Iran, but basically proven itself capable of absorbing lots of different blows and responding in kind. What the Saudis do is entirely up to them, and Bibi is a survivor. He is the most resilient democratic political survivor in the entire history of Israeli politics. That's a fact. He's also shrewd enough to know that he cannot put all of his eggs in the Trump basket, because Trump is not a guaranteed winner, not at all. And he's going to have to deal with the U.S. government one way or the other. Yes, Trump will give him more room, but he can't count on that. And I would say all of these various efforts of the last 6 to 8 weeks have been a recognition of that, that if he's going to get some things and accomplish them militarily and strategically, he better do them now. And I think that's been one of the reasons this calendar has played out the way it has.
One last topic. This is Major Garrett. You have interviewed presidents, vice presidents, senators, leaders of other countries. You know when you have to be direct in your question, you need to follow up. And we all have a style and an approach about it. And sometimes that has to adjust pending who you're interviewing. You know Brett Baer as a veteran journalist in D.C. for a long time. What was your assessment of him and your assessment of the vice president in that interview a couple days ago on Fox News?
So for Harris, the fact that the interview happened is the most important moment. Into the lion's den, quote unquote, metaphorically, I'm not afraid. I took it on. I knew it was going to be hostile. I knew I was going to probably be interrupted. But I did it anyway. I've got clips that my fans love and like and will move around in my circles of already convinced voters. And at the margins, I possibly either softened hostility toward me or maybe picked up a vote or two here or there. In the end, the risk-reward worked out better for her. Brett Baer lost my respect when the emails from 2020 came to the surface. And he said that the decision desk, which he knows and I know at Fox, is very good, resilient, and data-driven, should rescind its call in Arizona.
Yes.
Not because it was wrong, but because Fox viewers were upset.
That's documented and proven, by the way, before we get a text.
Yes. It's documented and proven. It's in court filings, and it's not been disputed.
Yep.
That's when Brett and I parted companies journalistically. And so his approach to the vice president reflected that relationship with the Fox audience. And I believe one of the most dangerous things in journalism, and it's a dangerous thing if your network is center-left or center-right, is thinking first of your audience's acceptance of your performance as opposed to the answers you get from a political figure. To me, the most important thing of any interview is the quality of the answers that you get from the questions you ask. Not your attitude, not your demeanor, not your willingness to interrupt. What are the answers, and what do they reveal that people did not know before? That's the only way, to my way of thinking, you measure the quality of an interview.
And, by the way, on the Fox decision to call Arizona for Joe Biden, they were right. They were proven
right. CBS didn't do it. We didn't do it. We were late. We were much days later because our modeling wasn't as accurate as Fox's was. And I kept talking to our Anthony Salvanto, head of our elections and surveys. And I said, are they probably right? He goes, they probably are. But our modeling will not allow us to make that call. We're going to be more cautious. And that's where we were. But Fox was, in the end, correct. Narrowly, by just over 10,000 votes, but they were right.
Great as always, sir. Enjoy the weekend. Go have that hockey puck next time you go out and eat.
I thank you, sir.
Thank you. Major, as good a guest as you're going to get on radio all across it.